Ye tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thomila Faulcher wrote and shot. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. In a dream, I happened of a Monday to be in a small 300-year-old hardware store. I was looking up at a small sign on a wall above a counter which read, "Shoe repairs done here," when I noticed that there was no cobbler's bench or any such familiar trappings about to back it up. Just then, a tall, slender woman in her mid-30s or so entered, and she was carrying a paper bag. She went up to that counter. In a moment, a boy of 8 to 10 appeared from out of some back room, and she said to him, "I'm new here, and I want to get some alterations done to my shoes, if I may." And so she pulled out from the bag a beautiful pair of Christian Louboutin stiletto heels and said, "Can I have exactly 2.5 inches removed off of these, please, as they are way too high for my height?" The man, missus, who does be doing the shoe repairs, will be coming in later in the sometime of today, if the rain holds off, to collect any shoes like your shoes there, that in need of some healing and soling, and he will bring them back all done for you nicely, hopefully on this coming Saturday, or the following Saturday, they are coming after that. Why would it take him that long to do them? I was hoping they would be ready within the hour or so. When he comes, I will give him the shoes, so I will, missus, and I will give him your question too. He will have the answer for you with the shoes on Saturday, or on the Saturday, as I was saying, following that. And she swiped the shoes off the counter and put them down back into the bag with half tearing it, and walked off out the door and half talking away to herself. And the boy looked over at me and asked, "Are your shoes all right there, mister, or do you think you might be wanting anything done to them for you?" "Oh, no, they're grand, thanks." And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "Of a morning early, he came upon a group of helpers and masonries who were actively engaged in dismantling an old Druidic temple and using its stones to construct a Christian oratory. And he thought to himself that with such a mentality being in continuity, a time in the near or way future will come when that same oratory, with having been abandoned and left to fall into ruin, will have its stones in turn reused and refashioned for the construction of perhaps a Druidic temple or a place of worship for some akin or unknown creed yet to appear on the shores of the island." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. "There's matter in these sighs, these profound heaves. You must translate, 'tis fit we understand them. Where is your son? Bestow this place on us a little while." "Aye, my good lord, what have I seen tonight?" "What, Gertrude? How does Hamlet?" "Mad as the sea and wind, when both contend which is the mightier, in his lawless fit behind the arrays, hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, 'A rat, a rat!' and, in this brainish apprehension, kills the unseen good old man." "Oh, heavy deed! It had been so with us had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you yourself, to us, to everyone. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us whose providence should have kept short, restrained, and out of haunted this mad young man. But so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit, but like the owner of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed even on the pit of life. Where is he gone? To draw apart the body he hath killed, over whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metal's base, shows itself pure, he weeps for what is done. O Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we would ship him hence, and this vile deed we must, with all our majesty and skill, both countenance and excuse. Ho, Gildastan! Friends, boat, go join you with some further aid. Hamlet in madness had Polonius slayed. Polonius. And from his mother's closet had he dragged him. Go seek him out, speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you, make haste in this. Come, Gertrude, we'll call up our wisest friends and let them know about what we mean to do and what's untimely done. Oh, come away. My soul is full of discord and dismay. A reading from Plato's The Republic. And how am I to convince you, he said, if you are not already convinced by what I have just said? What more can I do for you? Would you have me put the proof bodily into your souls? Heavens forbid, I said. I would only ask you to be consistent, or, if you change, change openly, and let there be no deception. For I must remark, Thrasymachus, if you will recall what was previously said, that although you began by defining the true physician in an exact sense, you did not observe a like exactness when in speaking of the shepherd. You thought that the shepherd, as a shepherd, tends the sheep, not with a view to their own good, but like a mere diner or banqueter, with a view to the pleasures of the table, or again, as a trader for sale in the market, and not as a shepherd. Yet surely, the art of the shepherd is concerned only with the good of his subjects. He has only to provide the best for them, since the perfection of the art is already ensured whenever all the requirements of it are satisfied. And that was what I was saying just now about the ruler. I conceived that the art of the ruler, considered as ruler, whether in a state or in private life, could only regard the good of his flock or subjects. Whereas you seem to think that the rulers in states, that is to say the true rulers, like being in authority. Think? Nay, I'm sure of it. Then why, in the case of lesser officers, do men never take them willingly without payment, unless under the idea that they govern for the advantage not of themselves, but of others? Let me ask you a question. Are not the several arts different, by reason of their each having a separate function? And, my dear illustrious friend, do say what you think, that we may make a little progress. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculate of Error, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? There was, I heard tell, back in days of way gone by, a crown prince of the Dublin Landry, who, would having gone on a grand tour, to visit by invitation the rulers of Louth, Down, Antrim, Derry, Donegal, Sligo, Mayo, and Galway Landries, was heading back home across the Midlands, when he was informed that a certain sage dwelt in the northern regions of the Offaly Landry. And it was suggested to him that it might be well worth taking a slight detour to go visit her. Half-heartedly, he agreed to go visit her, for it seems it was a time in the history of the isle when the sages of the hills and valleys weren't being listened to. The sage of Northern Offaly put this question to him, saying, What have you learned so far on your grand tour, Your Highness? I can say I have learned how to clearly tell all thises from all that's from all thises. With this way of thinking, I am able to clearly tell the difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is wrong and what is right. I have learned exactitude of interpretation, learned how to leave no room whatsoever for ambivalence to enter into my thoughts or into any situation. I have learned the basics, I feel, of what it is to be a formidable ruler. If you have learned this way of using your mind, Your Highness, why then have you come to see me? With such a fixed way of interpreting reality, you would find it quite difficult, even impossible, to learn anything at all from me. How so come? How do you interpret reality then? I wander my mind in free and easy going, Your Highness, in ever-changing forms and shapes, like unto the stream there or the breeze here about us, or to that bird there in flight gliding. Sure, that is pure simplistic. That is no usable way at all to be interpreting reality. No way could I use it in the future to successfully rule my landry. Have you no curiosity, Your Highness, about even skirting along its edges a while to experience what it's like? None whatsoever. I am fully confident in my own perfect way of thinking. How would you know until you give it a go, Your Highness? There are some things you just know, and this is one of them. Permit me, Your Highness, to tell you the rudiments of my way of thinking. Go ahead if you want. Nature gives to all things their harmonious qualities, Your Highness, and does not confine them to a single shape or form, ever changing is its modus operandi. It has no past, present, or future to be knotting itself up in. Enjoyment is at the heart of the matter. Stop there before you go any further. I would like to be left stay with my own way of thinking. And the sage courteously let him be on his way. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will day after day pour forth silence and speech, night after night, wisdom and knowledge. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn, which you regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on referendum day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.